Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come, will come. He that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that's God's word, and all God's people said. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We are grateful that we can read it tonight. Grateful that we can study it. But we are needy. We need you to help us. May every word that goes forth from this pulpit tonight be truth. And may you give us ears to hear, minds to comprehend and understand, and hearts to receive and wills to do. We are absolutely, fully, 100%, totally dependent upon your grace and your mercy to help us. So God, please, reveal to us your word, your truths, and may we rejoice tonight in the God that we have as our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week we looked at verses 26 through 31, which is a passage about apostasy. Or maybe better, it's a passage about continuance. Those who are saved, those who are regenerated and saved by the power of God, even though they have lapses, they continue in the faith and in the things of God. Doesn't mean saved people are perfect and that saved people never sin. We have lapses. But we continue in the faith and in the things of God. Apostates, on the other hand, even though they may have periods of religion, they ultimately continue in their disobedience and in their sinfulness. So continuance is an issue on both parts. So the believer always returns to God from their lapses into worldliness, and the lost sinner always returns to worldliness from their times with God. I hope that sort of makes sense. The section here is a section of a warning passage. It is the fourth warning passage in the book of Hebrews. And in the passage that we read, we see that the writer here is offering encouragement to deter, to avoid apostasy. I said last week that every single one of us that are here in church are potentially all apostates, because apostasy happens to those who are to some degree knowledgeable of the truth and to some degree embracing the truth. So all of us tonight are potentially apostates, because apostasy happens in the church, but here in the text that we read is an encouragement for us not to apostatize. And we could break the encouragement down to two things: a look backwards and a look forwards. So let's begin by looking backwards. The first thing we are told to do to deter apostasy is to remember. He says here, but call to remembrance the former days, past days, former days. Not just any former days, but call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated and you endured a great fight of afflictions after that illumination. Remember that you were made a gazing stock and that you become companions to the church. So those are one, two, three, four things. So here's the thing. Recall, remember, when you first came to Christ. Recall when you first came to the fellowship of believers and the first time that you heard about Christ. Now, I'm not talking about when you were saved, but I'm talking about when this whole process began in your heart and in your life. Recall when you felt a need to go and to hear about Christ. Recall when you had that tugging on your heart. Recall when the things of God seemed to you to be exciting and to be interesting and something real. Recall when you could sense that it was important and you showed up and you listened to the Word of God and you liked it, you enjoyed it. Recall when you really looked forward to going. You were excited to hear the preacher say something from the Scriptures. Remember when what you thought previously was foolishness suddenly took on a new level of importance to you. Look back. Call to remembrance that time in your life. Run that over in your mind. That's what the word remembrance means, to run it over in your mind. Remember when the things of God began to make sense to you. One by one, the things that you felt when you first came, how exciting, how fresh, how real things seemed. Remember the way it was before you little by little grew cold and indifferent and began to fade in the things of the Lord. And so he not only says we need to remember when God turned the lights of illumination upon our hearts, but remember when we began to see spiritual realities. But remember that because of that, you had to endure afflictions. We want to forget afflictions. But the writer here says, remember the afflictions, the endurance of great fight of afflictions. Remember that you were persecuted along with the rest of the church. Remember that you were visibly identified with the church and you got the same abuse that the church got. Remember that? The word fight here is a word that we get our word athletics from. So he's saying that we need to remember that you went through all the pains and all the agonies with the church. That's the way it is when you begin Christianity, isn't it? Do you remember? Remember when it was fresh? You were excited. And you didn't care what other people thought. You didn't care what other people thought. You didn't care what other people said. You didn't care what the consequences would be. There was a boldness. There was a boldness that was produced by the newness of it all. You see, can you remember before we learned to be cowards? Takes a while. Remember when you were willing to suffer to be part of the church? Didn't care. They didn't just simply experience afflictions, but they endured them, right? Remember that you endured a great fight of afflictions. The word endured means to maintain a belief or a course of action in the face of opposition or to stand one's ground. Do you remember when things come against you and you stood your ground? You didn't back up. You didn't retreat. Do you remember when suffering would not budge you? Do you remember when suffering only really made you stronger and more determined? Do you remember when pressure only convinced you all the more of the truth? Remember those first days, those exciting days when it all began. Remember the first time when you heard the gospel and it made sense to you and seemed important to you. Remember when you were made a gazing stock. The idea here is to be made a show. It's the idea we would get from theater. Remember when you were put on a stage? You were made a spectacle of. You were disgraced publicly. You were laughed at. You were scorned. But you weren't ashamed. You weren't ashamed. Remember all the insults that you heard, all the trouble, all the distresses that came into your life. They never moved you. They never altered you. They really just intensified your commitment. Do you remember? Do you remember when you used to stand with us? When you became our companions in the church? Remember when just hanging around with us got you into trouble? Just hanging around with people in church got you in trouble, but you hung around anyway. You remember when going to church got you laughed at, but you went anyway? Remember when your friends were actually the people in church? Let me put it this way. Remember when you were Christian, when Christian wasn't cool? Remember that? Do you remember when you first began to see spiritual things as they were? Do you remember the afflictions and the problems they brought? Do you remember being a spectacle because of it all? Remember desiring to join up with us even though it brought trouble? So remember that. Then he gets personal, doesn't he? Do you remember when you had compassion on me when I was put into jail? Do you remember that you communicated somehow to the writer here in some way in his prison situation Do you remember that when he was confined, you showed compassion, you cared? You cared about me? And he says here that they did it joyfully. Right? They joyfully took the spoiling of their goods. This word spoiling means seizure of property or theft or plundering. In other words, remember when you joyfully suffered loss? Remember when Christianity cost you something? But you joyfully took the loss? You joyfully experienced the setbacks. You joyfully lost. Joyfully. Not grudgingly. Not complainingly. Joyfully. Remember that? Remember when you did all this? Because you knew in yourselves that you had in heaven a better and enduring substance. Remember when you at least knew that there was something better than worldly goods and you didn't mind giving them up? Remember when you weren't so preoccupied with stuff? You were preoccupied with heaven. Remember when you knew in your heart that the world was not ultimate and was not permanent. Remember when heaven and the presence of God affected how you perceive this temporal life. Remember that. Remember when you were convinced that when you what you lost here on this earth, what you suffered here on this earth was worth what you would gain in heaven. Remember that. Remember when you weren't consumed with stuff that you think you can't live without, and instead you knew all you needed was Christ. Remember when your priority was growing in Christ and not gaining stuff. Remember that. The command is that we do remember that. So what's he trying to say? I think what he's trying to say is that our growth and our spiritual maturity and development happens through afflictions. Where do you think you would be tonight spiritually if everything was rosy and everything turned out well? You see, the difficulties that we face, the obstacles that are in our life, the disappointments and the discouragements and the loss, all of those things God is using to strengthen our faith. It is through these afflictions, these troubles, these joyful endurement of loss, these spiritually develop and mature the believer. Or these same afflictions reveal the lack of faith of those who are not really regenerated. So the afflictions of life either strengthen your faith or they reveal the lack of faith. So what does he say? If you want to avoid afflictions, remember when you first began to see things the way they truly are by the power of God, and that you endured afflictions, and that you were made a gazing stock and didn't care at all, and you joined church and wanted to be a part of the church and the people of God, even though that brought afflictions into your life, and you had compassion, you cared about believers, and you joyfully took the loss of your goods, knowing that ye have in heaven something much better and much more enduring than you have on this earth. Let that run across your mind. And some people may say, I've never felt that way. And I would say, that's a problem. Because if you've never felt that way, you've probably never been saved. Then look at verses 35 and 36. Second look, it's a look forward. A look back, run across your mind how it has been in spiritually prosperous times in your life. Then look forward. Notice what he says. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive what? The promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. So, the promise is future, right? Promise of God is future. So the first deterrent of apostasy was to look back. The second deterrent is to look forward. There is something wonderful and great and spectacular awaiting believers in the future. There is a reward in the kingdom of God that the suffering and the loss we experience in this life will not compare with. What we will receive there will be greater than what we lose and suffer here. So look back to spiritually wonderful, prosperous, bold times in your life, but look forward to what God has prepared for His people. So I think one cause of apostasy is impatience, because He says what you have need of is what? Patience. So we don't do well with delayed gratification, do we? We want it all, and we want it now. But that's not the way it is. The best is yet to come. Say amen. The best is yet to come. Say that with me. The best is yet to come. This verse is why your best life now, baloney, is so dangerous. It is that attitude that this is my best life now. It's that attitude that breeds apostasy. There is affliction, there is suffering, there is loss here on earth, but be patient. Because the promises of God will be received by those who have done the will of God. You be sure of that. Be patient. Christ is coming. Somebody help me. Be patient. Christ is coming. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will come. He will come. Come, He will come. So the time that we have to endure hardships, will be just a little while. So don't give up. Because the Lord is coming and He will get us. That's a promise. We believe that, right? We believe that. So be patient. This life is but a little while. Our suffering is but a little while. Our afflictions are but a little while. Our losses are but a little while. Our persecutions are but a little while. We must wait just a little while. But here I am telling you tonight, Christ is coming in a little while. And so the time we endure hardships is small and the time we must wait is short. Right? He's coming. Therefore, the just shall live by what? Faith. You have come this far. You have believed this long. Go all the way. Believe all the way. Hang on to what you got and believe all the way. You may not be seeing it. You may not be feeling it. But you must believe it. The just live by faith. So he says here that God has no pleasure in a person that quits. He has no pleasure in someone who quits, who goes back. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It's no pleasure to the man that goes back. So saving faith is continuing faith, right? Saving faith is continuing faith. The just live by faith. If a man is really right with God, his life is a life of faith. If a man doesn't live by faith, then he really doesn't believe God, and I would say never has been saved. Say amen. So we must trust God. We must trust God. We've never seen God. Have you seen God? I haven't seen God. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen heaven. Say amen. And I don't believe those people who say they've died and have. I've never seen hell. I've never seen anybody that has written one word in Scripture, but you know something? I believe it. But I believe it not by sight, but by what? Faith. My whole existence, your whole existence is by faith, right? And he's saying to them, believe it and live it. Don't go back, because if you go back, God will have no pleasure in you. And the ones he has no pleasure in, he has no presence with. Then verse 39, here's a positive. But we, the truly saved, are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. So what's he saying? Don't go that way. Don't go back. We're not those who go back. We're those who believe by faith. We believe to the saving of the soul. And let me say this, it's one thing to believe, it's something else to believe to the saving of the soul. Lots of people believe. The Bible says devils believe and tremble. He says, don't fall back, go forward. We are not of them that draw back, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's a description of a true believer. A true believer does not draw back, but by faith marches forward and believes to the end to the saving of their soul. That's a true believer. So there is a look back, and there is a look forward. A look back to when we had our eyes open to the truth of God, endured persecutions, was made a laughing stock of, joined companions, even though it brought persecution, had compassion on others. And there's a look forward to the promise that we will receive in the coming of Christ. Those are the two deterrents to apostasy, a backward look and a forward look. So let me ask you a question. If I'm supposed to look back and supposed to look forward, what look is the most dangerous look that I can have? So looking at the present. The one place the writer did not want us to look is right now and right here. Don't look at your problems. Don't look at the persecutions. Don't look at the suffering. Don't look at your losses. Because those things will just cloud up your thinking. Look back and remember how wonderful it was, and look ahead and remember how wonderful it's going to be. What a glorious time it was when I first came to Christ. What a glorious time it will be. But if I look here, if I put my focus on my troubles and my trials and my troubles, I'm going to be in trouble. Say amen. You with me? Do you remember the TV show Ripley's Believe It or Not? How many used to watch Ripley's Believe It or Not? I can't believe y'all have TVs. God forbid. Ripley's Believe It or Not, if you'll remember, was a show that would present some hard-to-believe truth, fact. And in the end, you were confronted with a choice. You could either believe it or not. Right? You with me? Isn't that what he's saying here? Jesus Christ has provided salvation full and free. You have two choices. Either you believe it or not. You can either take it or you can leave it. But you have to do one or the other. Say amen. I look backward. I look forward. Not a look at our troubles. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you would help us as we move forward in our Christian life, that you would keep us from apostasy, that you would keep us from leaving the faith, that you would help us to look backward to what you have done in our hearts and our lives. The boldness that you gave us, the excitement we had to learn these truths, to know that we were loved, and know that Christ died for us in our place. And help us to look forward to the promise we have that Christ is coming again and that He will receive us unto Himself. The best we have is still yet to come. Don't let us dwell on the losses of this life. Don't let us dwell on the troubles of this life. Don't let us dwell on the sufferings and the trials of this life. That's a recipe for apostasy if we do that. Help us to keep our gaze backward and forward to what Christ has done and what Christ will do. How wonderful it was to come to Christ, and how wonderful it will be to be with Christ. Keep our focus in those two directions and not on the afflictions that we have here. We thank you for these truths and this help. Help us to believe to the saving of our souls. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.